Welcome to Safety Breakthrough Talk Radio. Do you have questions or worries about the safety, health, or wellness of yourself, your family, friends, or work colleagues? The answers are here. In the next 30 minutes, you'll learn about a safety, health, or wellness topic and how to make safer and healthier choices for yourself and for others. And now, here is your host, Kathy Hansel.
Welcome to today's webinar brought to you by Breakthrough Results, LLC. Our webinar today is titled Creating a Vibrant Organizational Culture and Business Value from Safety and Sustainability Impacts. This is Peggy Knutson, Kathy's assistant. I'm going to start by introducing your host, Kathy Hansel, president of Breakthrough Results, who will then introduce her special guest, Gretchen Digby Norwood. Along with being a published author, Kathy brings 40 years of experience in successfully implementing award-winning safety and health cultures throughout Allied Signal, now Honeywell, and American Standard Trane, which is now Ingersoll Rand. She's also guided many firms in multiple business sectors and government to experience superior safety, health, and sustainability performance, cultures, and new business value. During the last 10 years, Kathy has been linking safety, health and environment culture, and sustainability in sharing the benefits and methods of these linkages by speaking and co-organizing sustainability symposia at an international business schools in Europe, Canada, and China, as well as the U.S. Once the presentation is complete, we'll be opening the lines for your questions and comments, or you can post your questions at any time in the chat box if you're online. Now, here's your host, Kathy Hansel.
Yeah, thank you, Peggy. Also, as Peggy said, we're recording this, so Peggy is in charge of the recording of our show today, so that for those who are listening, you'll be able to have a recording, and for those who also signed up and can't join us, we'll also send it to them. So thank you for that. I'm glad to be here. And also today with me is a very special guest, Gretchen Digby Norwood. Gretchen and I have known each other for quite a long time, and we actually met at professional organizations in the early 2000s. So that's 18 years ago, oh my gosh. But it's really about 10 years ago when we really met when Gretchen's the company she was working with, Ingersoll Rand, and the company I was working with, American Standard, merged. So that's when Gretchen and I started to work together. Gretchen is the founder of Future Partners, LLC. It's a Raleigh-based consulting firm with a new one, and she specializes in assisting with HS&E compliance management and sustainability engagement, and that sustainability is a real key for her, because she's also the U.S. liaison for sustainability services at Robeco SAM, which is focused on engaging U.S. companies in the corporate sustainability assessments and the Dow Jones Sustainability Index. And before that, Gretchen worked as the director of global sustainability programs for the Center of Energy and Sustainability at Ingersoll Rand, and did some incredible work, particularly around engaging the entire organization in something that was called Green Teams, and she coined that. And that's something I'm going to ask Gretchen to share with us when we start talking about that. So with that, I welcome Gretchen.
Thank you.
Good. Okay, and thank you all for joining us. As we were preparing for this, I have to say something interesting happened to me on Monday, just 2 days ago. And as I pulled into the bank parking lot, I got out of the car and I heard this really loud hiss. And I looked down and sure enough, I watched my tire deflate. And I thought, okay, I got a flat tire now. And I looked and there was looked like a key was sticking out of it. And I thought, how the heck did that happen? So I called AAA, they changed it, and then I started out with a donut on there. And then I went to go home to look for the closest tire repair company, and as I turned on the computer, the screen went black. And I thought, okay, I got two for two here. So I pulled up the computer, and we headed off to Best Buy to stand in the Best Buy Geek Squad line like everybody else. And they told me it would take 8 days to get my computer repaired, and I said, well, that won't do. And I found, they recommended actually, and I found a small firm which was able to do it, and I actually got the computer back yesterday. But I was thinking about these two events, and I thought to myself, I can use these events because both of these events kind of symbolize exactly what we're going to be talking about today. One is what kind of trash and bugs and other things that are in the way that need to get cleaned out in order for me to do my job. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today from a perspective of what's going to get in the way and what do you need to change and clean out in order to get the culture working the way you want to in your organization. So I'm going to call that the first lesson of my experiences of what gets in the way. And the second is what's the key, right, to release kind of, I'll call it old stale patterns and make their way for new fresh patterns. And that's a little bit of symbolism of that I actually did have a key in my tire, and they can't figure out how that happened. The key was over 3 inches long. It was a very long kind of thing. But I thought, you know, this is good for today too. So what kind of keys can Gretchen and I offer you to change old patterns and get rid of old stale ways of dealing with things so that you can make your way for new fresh actions and behaviors and views? So that's what we're going to be talking about, right? What gets in the way? What do we need to clean out? And what are the keys to some new way of thinking? So with that, I'm going to begin our slides, and here we are. So we're going to be looking at culture. It's entitled Looking at Creating a Vibrant Culture, and safety, health, environment, sustainability are integrally linked, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but it's basically creating the culture. So if you're listening from a safety perspective, we're going to be talking about that. If we're listening from a safety, health, and environmental perspective, we're going to be talking about that. And if you're looking or listening from a sustainability perspective, we're going to be talking about that. And we're going to be talking about those because they all follow the same roadmap, and they are all integrally linked, especially with that sustainability piece, which I've just coined S cubed here because it's shorter. So the first thing that Gretchen and I are going to do, we're going to kill some myths for you because, like I said, what gets in the way, the myths and paradigms are killers for us. So there's lots of people out there thinking some very strong views. You may hear them in conferences. You may hear them from very popular thought leaders. Gretchen and I have different ways of thinking about those, and we're going to offer those different ways to you so that you can make up your own mind. And after that, after they're out of the way, we're going to give you a roadmap, basically what to do, and then we're going to give you some how-to-dos, and in particular, where does safety, health, and environment, sustainability all link with one another? There's incredible synergies there, and safety, our function, I hope when you're listening to this and at the end of it, you say to yourself, wow, some of this may be new, some of it may not be new, but I hope you leave with some insights about the incredible value and impact, not just on the risk management side that we offer and controlling and some cost prevention, but the value add that we bring to a business. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about, to implement and coordinate this into the business culture. And we're going to give you our experiences of what top three secrets are. Again, Gretchen and I, for good or bad, I guess it's a good thing, together we've got 70 years of experience. And that's a lot.
I know.
Isn't that? Yeah, I know. I'm not sure if I like that or not. I guess I do.
Well, earlier when you said we met 20 years ago, I was going to claim that I was only 12, but that would not be true.
Well, but I think we're quite a pair, quite a duo.
Yeah, 70 and, years is impressive. That's a lot.
Yeah. Yes, and it's such a pleasure to be able to share what we've learned. I mean, that's all part of good professionals and just, you know, and our function, frankly.
I think we also proved that I think once a safety professional, always a safety professional, no matter what your title says, and that you do tend to flock together because, Kathy, look, I mean, we're back together after all these years. So
That's right. So that's all good news. And the last piece that we do want to share with you today, and we don't have a lot of time, but we're going to do our best to get through this, is the biggest trap and how to avoid it. So let's get started. No. It's kind of the culture, why bother? Now, for some of you, you may be saying, oh, geez, you know, I understand this. Why do we even bother going into this? For some of you, it may be a new way of thinking. So for that, I ask you to listen with an open mind. We'll begin with a moral obligation. We know that it's more than the numbers. It's a foundational issue required by our employees and the unions and expectations of our customers and the communities in which we're privileged to operate. We meet our responsibilities, and those are legal responsibilities and prevention, really the foundation of who we are, right? We do this. The next issue here, we are also core to the business, and maybe that's like, okay, yeah, we get that too. And true to some degree, because if you look at it and think about it from a short-term, long-term perspective, yes, from a short-term perspective, we help the business meet their operating numbers and expectations and production, and we help control costs, right? Because if we have less environmental incidents or we have less injuries, that's a cost savings for the business. And of course, it goes back to that moral obligation that we want to operate in a sound and safe manner for our employees and for the community at large. So yes, for the short term. But we also offer something very unique, and I'm hoping that this may trigger some new thoughts for you as a long-term value. We accelerate business value, and this goes beyond, say, operational metrics when we can save money from all the less incidents, and along with that comes increases in productivity and safety, quality and customer satisfaction, employee retention. And then once we have employees to retain them because they're proud to work for this organization, those are very well documented. And I've experienced them, and I bet Gretchen has too. They're all very real consequences. Now take that one step further, because we also create two things with a great and a solid safety, health, and environment culture within, or piece of that within your organization culture. We create a unifying force, and that cannot be undervalued. Because it creates a framework and a roadmap for people inside the organization and helping them make decisions and helping them frame what the organizational structure is and the talent and who do we have and who do we educate, how do we incentivize these people. It's a common motivating direction and force. And I've personally experienced that in two companies. And it transforms the organization. Now, with that comes another piece, and this one is really exciting, and it lends its way right into sustainability. And this is that we create a value add for new products and services that that meet customer needs. So you can say a voice of the customer. So we're looking, because we look through an environmental or safety, health, environmental lens. We're looking, and we can look if the business uses us in this way, to find out what are the customer's issues or what are the new product demands out there that we can help meet, because we're already looking and living through that kind of a lens. So this is a value to the organization, and it lends itself right into the ultimate advantage of marrying into sustainability. We all know, and I'm sure you've heard, that you know, sustainability, safety is core to sustainability, a strong foundation of their employees. We help in all the risk management sides of things. There are new metrics and studies. You may have seen and heard about the studies that's done by the Campbell Institute on this subject, that safety integral and safety, health, and environmental are integral into sustainability and the metrics that can be followed. There's recent articles about where the value comes from ESG, environmental environmental social governance, which is very much us, health, safety, and environment, meeting new emerging markets. That's out right now. In fact, just released, the 26th was the habits of the top ESG performers by the market. By the Corporate Knights put this out, and it's the 2018 Global 100 Most Sustainable Corporations. And they draw a direct correlation between companies that have a great sustainable way of operating links to superior financial performance. And I mean, this is publicly, like I said, it was just published on January 26th. And it lists the criteria that they judge by as well as the top 100 companies. And I mean, just in case people aren't familiar with Corporate Knights, they're looking at energy production, carbon productivity, water waste, R&D development, the chief executive pay and the pay to ratio for the employees, injury rates, number of environmental excursions. They're also looking at employee turnover, women on board, women executives, clean revenue, they call it. So they've got quite a variety of topics. But the point is that we're on the screen. We, safety, health, and environment, are immediately in this screen. And the thing that is most exciting for me, and I hope it is for you, that we have made it big time. When Larry Fink, who is the CEO of BlackRock, and BlackRock is the world's largest asset manager, almost $6 trillion, has made a public statement that says to the CEOs that business success is more important. It's not more important. The company has a responsibility for not only profits, but also contributions to society. That's how he worded it. And that means that you know, we, safety, health, environment, we're part of that. Long-term fundamental purpose and protecting workers and the communities and working conditions, life cycle analysis, contractors, managing byproducts, being a good neighbor. He states these things in his statement to CEOs. So if there's any doubt that we don't have a gigantic role to play, not only in risk management short-term and operating successfully, but in this long-term of business success, you know, that should put that to bed. So why bother? We've got a huge game to play here and a huge role in helping businesses succeed. And along with that, Gretchen and I are going to kill some myths, or at least we're going to give you a different way to think about what could get in the way of experiencing that enormous opportunity that we as safety, health, and environmental professionals have. So that should be pretty exciting, and I hope you got some thoughts going in your mind. So if that's the case, what does this really mean? So just take a look at this triangle. I mean, I'm sure you've seen something like this in many places and many times. But kind of summarizing what I just described to you, as you go up this triangle, it means more and more of what I just described, that there's more long-term plans, that safety, health, and environment, or ESG vision, is incorporated into who the company is. We've got clear risk management processes. This is who we are, right? We're looking, and the best we can do is we integrate and align it with the business. Everybody understands their role. There's accountabilities for that. The leaders are driving this. And that last piece that I shared with you, that the business is also looking at innovation and making investments in new business value for where ESG issues or us, safety, health, and environment, we're actually on the table. So we can help provide those new business value opportunities. And again, as we go through this, we're going to be sharing some more examples of that. But again, we're positioning the culture here to what we can do, and now what do we need to do about it? So this, the required changes, and where are you? Kind of just think about this for yourself. You know, are you on the from side, where it's kind of a new thing, and there's more of a piecemeal approach, everything's short term? I really hope you're not in a situation where employees are being blamed for accidents. And I hope your function safety or safety health environment is not siloed. If any of these from situations, the two side gives you a goal to shoot for and to be communicating with your leaders that this is what we're looking for. In order to get to what we just described, these are all mandatory. Because if not, these become, remember I said what needs to get cleaned out? This list now becomes what needs to get cleaned out. They become your barriers. It's not that you can't do this. Because Gretchen and I, in our experience, we've been doing this a long time, and you can do this, and we can share with you some of our lessons in order to do this. But this almost creates a list for yourself of, if I'm having problems getting this message across, then these may be some of the issues that are in your way. Now, if we can address those, let's get to how we're going to get this done. So this offers to you a logical approach. First, define where you're going. Where does safety and health or safety, health, environmental fit within sustainability? And where do they all fit within your current culture? Is there a strategy in order to leverage these issues? You have to answer that for yourself. And where do they fit within the company strategy? Then a roadmap, a set way of how it's going to happen. Strong piece of advice is that it doesn't happen by itself. If we do, really relying on luck at that point. So a very firm roadmap of how to get things done, multi-year steps, continuous improvement. You have a framework you're following. It is aligned with the business, integrated with the business, so you're not running alone. You are working within the organization. And a change process to follow. Definite step-by-steps. Over my career, I've developed an 8-step process that's based on a business change model because I didn't like anything I saw. So I figured I'd kind of morph into my own change process. And I took it from the best of the best, the previous CEO when I worked for, Larry Bossidy. Some of his thoughts are in this. And Jim Collins, who wrote Good to Great's in there. John Cotter, one of the great change leaders. And Pritchard's in there. Shocking Velocity author's in there. And so learning from the business leaders who guide change successfully, I thought to myself, look, safety is a part of business. That means I got to change and think more like a business person. That's where the change model comes from. And after you're working on this and you're working with the leaders, one benefit is that it resonates with the leaders. And so does the request of different actions and different behaviors, and that's where leading indicators come from. So I was looking for, or I would suggest you look for, leading indicators that are actions and behaviors, process, you can call them KPIs, the key process inputs, that's process changes and process indicators, and try to stay away from a lot of lagging indicators, whether it's rates, excursions, cost penalties. We all know we'll never get rid of them. But if we can minimize them, it's for all of our benefit, because then we can really track what's happening and make some meaningful changes. And let's get into a little bit of the culture vision. Again, it doesn't say safety only, but remember that whether you're looking at safety or safety, health, and environment or sustainability, what we're suggesting to you is a very similar roadmap. So here, this is a model that I created, and Gretchen and I actually, when Ingersoll Rand and American Standard merged, this was shared with the new incoming Ingersoll Rand folks, and it's been developed from, I'd say, my mistakes. I have been doing this a long time. I have made my share of mistakes and omissions. So this is a compilation of a very complete way of looking at how do we define culture. The leaders have their point and their roles and responsibilities, the employees, we know we want them involved and engaged, that's very critical. And the most important part, maybe even up here, is that whatever we're doing systemically needs to be included and aligned with what the business does and runs, how the processes are, the organization is decided and designed, the talent that's in place, the roles and responsibilities that are in place, the accountabilities that are in place, the incentives and the recognition from awards that's in place, all the processes that are in place, and there's 24 of them, and we're going to show you in just a second what they are. We have a place in every one of them. So are we integrated so that we're not a one-off, we're not a silo, and we're not resting on a CEO or particular leader's drive, but again, we're integrating because CEOs change, right? Leaders change, plant managers change, but the embedded processes become the foundation of the company. They become part of the culture. And the last is the leading metrics and data. Really good, robust, I hope, root causes analysis, so that you're looking at the systemic and cultural issues rather than blaming the person if it happens to be an injury. So taking a look at that culture there. Now, here's the strategic framework, what I just shared with you. Again, this is kind of a lesson learned that I share. That's culture at the bottom, and everything we just talked about is a piece, but we also need these other two pieces. I've heard a lot of times people say culture eats strategy for lunch. Okay, maybe. But culture in and of itself cannot do its job unless we've got strong processes to support what the culture needs, how things are done in the organization. It has to be easy or else the culture, it's fighting. to get the job done. And we need teachers, we need guides, we need coaches in order to help make all these pieces work. And we'll always have risk management, we'll always have a technical, we'll always have a legal responsibility for doing our job. That will never go away. So we need this organization piece, our talent, us. We may change our roles over time, and I hope we do, to more mature coaches, but we'll always be needed. And the processes are needed to sustain, and then the culture runs it. So with that, I'm going to stop and ask Gretchen to share if you have any comments on the culture and the strategy and the framework so far.
I'll just say ditto. I've seen this slide, Kathy, that and when you talk about back in the day of the merger of the Ingersoll Rand and the American Standard, you know, I recall this visual very clearly coming into play. And you say, I'm echoing a little bit of what you said, you know, culture beats strategy every time, or eat strategy lunch, whatever. And I we had to sort of undo that mentality, because what it was doing was pushing the focus on one and not the other. And you're absolutely right, everything has to be integrated. And you're going to get to the cultural piece by integrating into processes and functions that already exist in the organization. And so I, you know, again, like you said here, your lesson, culture alone is not sufficient. But the underlying culture is what is going to lead into your conversation later, I'm sure, around sustainability. But if you don't have the culture, you'll not sustain the performance levels that you want to sustain, and you won't sustain the successes and the wins that you see. One thing, I'll talk about it later or whenever you want, around the volunteer green team piece as an example, but the ultimate goal is creating that culture of ownership, regardless of what it is. I mean, safety is a perfect prime example of a way to do that. But until folks in the organization, regardless of their title and their function, understand what their ownership level is, and they're given the freedom and, frankly, the permission to own pieces of EHS and sustainability, then it doesn't happen. And that's where we, you know, focus on this, like you said. I don't know if I'm adding or just repeating you at this point, but I think you've made the point very well. I don't know if you want me to speak now on experience from green teams and what I mean by that, but a lot of times
I'm sorry. I think it's an excellent point when we get to one of the barriers, but please finish your thought.
Yeah, I was just going to say that sometimes our job is to provide the platform and I say that like an open door permission to move that cultural needle, that we have the freedom and ability for employees to speak up and integrate their thoughts into our rules and requirements and processes. So engaging all employees at all levels is really where you're going to move the needle. But that was kind of finishing my thought on that.
Good. Well, thank you. Actually, it's a really nice segue into the next about here's the roadmap. And this is like where can we be and what as is. What Gretchen is describing is exactly one of the pieces that should be in your own analysis and your own thinking about where can we be in everything that say going back to here, right? What does this look like in success? Where can I be? And there's checklists for that, and you know, we can help you with that if you're interested in that. But you're questioning. You know, where's the culture, like what Gretchen just described? Do the employees really feel that they've got a say or vote, or they're respected, or it's just come in, clock in, and shut up and do your job? I mean, you know, that's a culture. It's a bad one, but that is certainly a culture. So things, you know, everything we just talked about, and especially those changes, I'll go back to that just to show you. Here, these are fabulous questions to ask yourself. Where am I right now, and what can be, right? So this is, they're foundational to the culture, and they're foundational to how successful we can be in executing our function. And like we said in the beginning, trying to provide that extra value add, not just on the risk management side. That's our responsibility. We get that. But we could offer so much more. So where are we? Where can we be? And then, okay, what's the gap, right? So then you got all these, you're going to have them, everybody does, no matter how mature the organizations are. Even those top 100 I just described to you, they've got gaps. Nobody's perfect. So where can we work, and but what's strategically important in a very logical way? What's most important to the business? And that's, and I'm going to get into that a little bit later, but I'll give you a little preview, because we said we would cover the biggest trap. And this is beginning to cover and hit the biggest trap I've seen. And I'm saying that to you because I fell in it. And early in my career, I was in the trap. I might as well tell you. The trap is, you know, that nothing's more important than safety. That's a very dangerous view. And I've learned that, and I learned it way early on. And that even safety, health, environment, it's the most important thing in the business. And why aren't these leaders listening to me? You know, and it's extremely frustrating, can be, perspective. And again, if I'm looking at step three, what's strategically important, it's got to be to the business. Now, part of our job is protecting the business, protecting our people, protecting the operations, protecting the environment, protecting the communities. That is who we are, and we are absolutely critical in that. Yes, that does not take away from that at all. But we are a part of the business. We're not an independent, the most important thing in the world aspect of running a business. Right? And we'll get into that a little bit, and I share that with you now because I asked in the beginning to listen with an open mind here because we're sharing what we've learned. And one of the learnings that I have is I was actually taught by one of the business presidents, one of the CEOs I had a very close working relationship with, and a marketing director. And all three of them told me the same thing, that yes, we all care about safety of our people. We all care about safety, health, and environment. Yes, it is important, but it is part of running a superior business. So if you come in, and again, I share this with you so openly because I've made this mistake of I came in very parochial. Very safety is most important, you know, and the business was, they listened because, you know, because of the regulatory aspects, and yeah, we have to. But I was my own worst enemy because I came in too strong and too functional and too siloed and did not appreciate where this function sits and the role it's got strategically in a business. So it was a learning very early on, and boy, I changed fast. And the results have been incredible ever since, when the view changes from safety or safety health environment is part of a culture, it's part of the business, it's part of a successful business, it's part of a reliable business, it's part of an excellent business, and it's got a lot of consequences financially and from a business perspective and customer satisfaction and employee retention. All those great things run from it. But again, looking at this strategically, what do? We build on our strengths, we close those gaps, and with a mindset that everybody's got a job to do, and I'm going to do my job, my Kathy job, in order to help educate people, like Gretchen said, like where are the jobs, what are people supposed to do in a business in order to absorb the safety or safety health or safety health and environment or the sustainability accountabilities that they're going to be given. Everybody's got them. So how do I help them understand that and recognize that this is one aspect of a superior company? That's the question. And, again, I got way ahead of myself because the trap was at the end, but I might as well tell you now. So that's the thinking. And how do we really do our job well? Because we're part of a business. And then how do we know we make progress? Of course, that's where metrics come in and continuous improvement. So you certainly want to have that loop going with continuous improvement. Now, having said all that, some people are thinking, and here's one of the myths that we said we would bust for you, and Gretchen, I'd love to hear your opinion about this too, is safety, health, and environment. I've called safety and health in one. That's the top, the environment, and then we've got sustainability. Because I ran into a lot of where does safety really fit in sustainability, or environment seems more important than safety and sustainability, or, you know, or where does safety, or where are they both fitting in sustainability? I did the homework to say, where does safety and health and environment, well, just take safety for the moment. You see that safety sustainability 70%? I looked for an overlap of where safety or safety, a good strong safety culture, what it, we talked about what it looks like, remember the changes and everything. Where are those included in the current requirements of ISO 26000, which is for sustainability, and GRI, the Global Reporting Initiative? I did it for the versions 3, and then 3.1, and then 4. 4 came out in 2013. Where are the synergies? And you see that 70%? There's 70% overlap. So you may hear safety is really weak and safety doesn't have a big role and doesn't seem to be important. I'll tell you, that's nonsense. It's 70% direct hit overlap. And this is just a short list of the things that are overlapping directly. And there's leadership. I mean, you can read them for yourself. So there's an enormous overlap with safety and sustainability. So it goes way beyond the fact that, yeah, you may see a metric here or there, but you need to go deeper. If you go deeper, I offer to you there's 70% overlap. And I did the same analysis, and then I added an environment, and it increased 70 to 80%. Well, I can see we're just about out of time for our part one of our two-part webinar on creating a vibrant organization culture and business value. So we're going to be ending today. And I hope that you listen to our part two, in which we're going to be continuing on with how do we really take advantage and work the strategy, as well as an example of some of the barriers that we can run into. And that will be in on part two. So thank you again for joining us for part one, and I look forward to working with you on part two. Thank you.
You've been listening to Safety Breakthrough Talk Radio, hosted by Kathy Hansel, SBTR, dedicated to helping people live safer and healthier lives. Be sure to check out Kathy's website at www.breakthroughresults.org. You can reach Kathy by email at chansel@breakthroughresults.org or by phone at 908-652-1366. Have a safe day.